Heavenly Father, we know when we sing Jesus is here, we are not talking about your Son, but we are talking about you yourself who gave your name to your Son, Jehovah. We are grateful, Lord, that you are our Savior and that you yourself are present with us, the Son himself being still Melchizedek, our great high priest, intercessor, mediator. And we're very grateful for that. And we thank you, Lord, that we have come to know the difference, that we do not baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, nor do we baptize in the name of Jesus only, but we recognize in everything we do your great person, your great sovereignty, who brought forth an only begotten Son, and then many sons in him, and his generations come through Adam and Eve, and now through the resurrection to immortality, which we know is just following the shout, the message, and will come very, very shortly. And we proclaim to the world, Lord, even and also to you, that we know and understand these things which have been given to us through vindication, and we're happy for them. Now, Lord, we pray that your Spirit, which in man develops love and courage and a sound mind and also meekness, humility, and all the fruit of the Spirit and those things which are marvelous graces as to character, not forgetting also that healing and other wonderful things are in the atonement. And we appreciate that they are ours today, and you have come and shown that they are living realities, that nothing has passed away and nothing will pass away until it's all fulfilled, and we're in the very verge of the greatest fulfillment ever. So we thank you, Lord, for this knowledge that you've given us, imparted by you yourself, to the life within us which has come from you, sealing us unto yourself, knowing that we're truly yours and full of the Holy Spirit, and living epistles read and known of all men, because we have that testimony to the truth, which is not of ourselves, but is of you and given by grace and thoroughly vindicated to be so. Help us in the service this morning to glorify your name in the Spirit of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we are at the number 22, I believe, in the seat of discrepancy. And last week we continued to emphasize ecumenism that started with Cain and ends with the Antichrist, and also saw that the love of money, which money is in itself power, was part and parcel of ecumenism as seen in Balaam and Judas. Now in there you'll notice that the love of money and the impartation of money could not buy anything relative to the kingdom of God, though in the case of Balaam, it absolutely witnessed to it. Balaam was not a part of that kingdom in the sense of the final reality after the separation of the wheat and the tares, but he was certainly part of the kingdom of heaven on the grounds that a sower went forth to sow, and which were the children of Almighty God, and then another sower came forth to sow, the one dressed in dark, which was Satan, and he brought forth his children. And they were to grow together until the end of the harvest. Now, and though we did not emphasize, but now do, that in all of this, we are not dealing in politics and social scientists and geopolitical scenarios, though all are there, but we are dealing with the worship of God through religion. And if Satan wants worship, he will certainly see that his seed is religious and desirous of worship and will worship. So much for this crud called atheism. There are no atheists in foxholes, as the saying is. You don't have to even worry about atheism. A few pseudoscientists with the brains of a half-decayed louse rise up and proclaim their genius and their integrity and their smartness, hogwash. They know nothing from nothing. It'll soon be proven that the sun did stand still. Science says, oh, Joshua looked up and he said, oh, he didn't realize that the earth goes around the sun instead of the sun around the earth. So he said, sun, stand still. He boo-booed. But God was gracious and didn't mind the boo-boo. So the earth stood still. Hogwash. Has anyone seen with the naked eye what's called the Platen? That disk of the sun that darkens the sun, and if you look through a smoke glass, you can see it hopping and jumping around. You ever seen it? At Brother Branham's funeral eulogy, it was very plain. I looked up in the sun, and from one side there came gold. And when the gold descended to the earth and got between the sun and a white building, the building turned to pale gold. On the other side was crimson blood that descended. And when it got between the sun and a white building, the building turned to pink like blood. God's salute to one of the greatest prophets, if not the greatest prophet that ever lived. I would not say he was that. Jesus was. But he was certainly one of the great three. And he was linked with Moses and with Paul. And there lay William Branham in a casket. And God witnessing unto him. And I looked up and I saw that jumping and jumping. The sun can stand still. You'll one day find that we will have to agree with Brother Branham, who told his daughter Becky, listen, you'll find out the sun didn't stand still. Oh, that ignorant hillbilly. He should not confuse science with the Word of God, because God, you see, is not a true scientist. Well, that's marvelous, isn't it? How could he make our bodies and everything else and still not be a true scientist? The word science comes from the word of Latin, scio, scira, scivi, squidum, which means to know. So I took Latin, I remember a little bit about it. Big Latin, otherwise rejected. Yeah. Now, the harlot system of religion and worship of God, so called from Rome, proclaims itself the Roman Catholic Church, in which they have designated themselves as universal, because Catholic, taken from the original Greek, Catholicos, means one, universal, two, all-inclusive, conclusive, three, of general interest or value, hence having broad sympathies or understanding, hence liberal. We're liberal. We really don't have to take the Word of God as the Word of God. I talked to a little Roman Catholic girl many years ago, and I said, it's pretty obvious that the Roman Catholic Church does not believe in evolution. She said, Mr. Bailey, you're wrong. Our church believes that if God created the original seed, that's all you need to believe. And from there, evolution proving itself proves that God just made a seed and from then things evolved. That's their cursed religion. A perverted seed that grew into a mustard tree that can covered the whole earth with a foul branches, foul birds signifying foul religions from hell, have perched and run the church. In other words, this church adapts itself and can take from or add to and change as the occasion might indicate to be better self-serving. And this Pope regrets that the church did it, and he in turn has his picture taken with the witch doctor, I think in Haiti or someplace. And he congratulates the man because he said, we believe in the original spirit. And I certainly agree, spirit of hell. Nobody's so slick he doesn't betray himself. As Abraham Lincoln said, no man can be a liar because he hasn't got a good enough memory. The Catholic Church has tripped itself up and will continue to trip itself up until it's thoroughly, thoroughly exposed. So, all right, as I said here, the church, what we're looking at, is self-serving. It changes like a chameleon when it needs to. It'll embrace other religions in order to gain them and incorporate them as easily as they can into their own system. And the Mormon church, which claims to be original, are a bunch of liars. They're the same muddy stick. Because when Woodworth Edder, a woman whose leg was crippled up with polio, stuck out in front of her, claimed divine healing in, they said, well, Mrs. Edder, what's that? She said, that's the devil's line. One did it. The foot shot out, the leg shot out, she was healed. Contrary to Scripture, set on fire, With her own desire, she went out there and began preaching. She went to Utah. And Mormons were converted by the scores, if not hundreds. And the gifts of the Spirit were in evidence. And the Mormon church pulled the same trick on those adherents that left so-called now Christians. How much Christians you'll see. They said, why, hey, we can accept tongues, interpretation, and prophecy in the Bible. Don't go away. We receive it. And they still got it amongst them, too, to my knowledge. And that's from a friend of mine who was formerly a Mormon. And still believed in certain things the Mormon church taught. So there you see this system. I want you to notice that they have said we are Catholic. Now, many people think, well, Catholicism means that religion. It doesn't. It means universal. In other words, for hundreds of years they have proclaimed we're going to take over. And they will. They have proclaimed that they understand what you might call chicanery and diplomatic sleight of hand, claiming they practiced it, which they have for 2,000 years. They're amenable to anything, long as they can hold their ground, and not only hold their ground, but make great gains, which they have been doing. Now, I realize the Roman Catholic Church has lost membership. I understand and know full well they've lost their convents, they've lost their priests, they've lost their nuns. They're in a decadent position from what they were even 50 years ago, and from 100 it becomes abysmal. But the fact is they know what they're doing, and in their plans they are able to manipulate. And it was Reagan who went with the Pope, and they together solved the problem how to destroy communism. And they did it, which was with religion and the power and backing of America, which we'll talk about as we get into this further. I want you to notice that the great fall of the church was at Nicaea, as Constantine, the Roman Emperor, gave the church money, prestige, power, buildings, and set in motion political machinery that will one day make the church absolutely supreme, as it backed Constantine and gave him power politically because of religious indulgence. Pretty soon this church will give political and full force power to the church to give it its religious supremacy. The Pope has already declared that he will be head of the three monotheistic religions, which I have no doubt he will be. As I have said before, and I would refuse to recant, because I am not a bloodsucker. Now, let's get this flat. If we are engaged in an all-out war of survival, and we do not mix religion in this particularly, but a hard-headedly strike out for our survival. If Iran is doing what it's supposed to be doing, how come America doesn't send up a fleet of planes with atomic bombs and say, we'll give you just 48 hours to kick your government out or you're all dead? Strange, isn't it? The Pope will control Islam, and don't think for one minute he won't, and they will bow and they will scrape and they will grovel. Sold every white, black, yellow, brown, and red. Bow and scrape and grovel. They'll be brought into a stew pot of religion. And there'll be no Holy Ghost meal to help them as there was in the days of Elijah. There'll be death in the pot, and all in it will die. So, I want you to notice that the great fall of the church, the Omega, the Alpha rather, was at Nicaea, as Constantine, the Roman Emperor, gave the church money and set in motion political machinery that will one day make the church absolutely supreme, with Satan achieving through his bride the complete populating and taking over of the earth and being worshipped as God, as it says in chapter 13. Now let's go there. We're going to take time to read this morning, because I don't care if I get past the preamble or not. And it tells you, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast that which I saw was like unto a leopard. Now this is Daniel's revelation brought up to date in Revelation. Feet as were a bear, the mouth as a lion. The dragon gave him power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads that were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. Now that was Rome healed, but after it was ordinary political and national Rome. It died. The Roman Empire went down and came back under papal Rome, and now from Rome again the whole world is going to be ruled. And remember that Rome gave the world law. It is absolutely said that Rome laid the ground for the foundation for Christianity by putting in law and roads and a language. And they had that. And Rome stands for law. It stands for justice. But the justice was corrupt because of the headship. And so they will come in at the end time as standing for the word and law and all those things that make up a civilization. But the trap will be laid unto worship, because this is what it is all about. Even as Satan came to Christ and said, "Listen, I know who you are. Fall down and worship me, and I'll give you all of this, and you won't have to worry about the cross or anything else. You can take it right from me. You got it." And Jesus said, "Thou shalt worship only the Lord thy God." And of course we know that Satan had to leave him. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him?" As Brother Branham said, one word from Rome can bind up millions of people. He didn't put in that word, but he said the armies would be loosed or bound by Rome. "Who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies." Just a mouth now. "And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven." Now remember, them that dwell in heaven is New Jerusalem, which is our mother. And we're up there, all of the children of God, with our headship, which is Jesus Christ. Pretty soon to come. "And given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power was given unto all kindreds and tongues and nations." Now, that's been going on for 2,000 years, because the Antichrist spirit's among us. Rome has delegated herself the authority to forgive sins and everything else, to constitute marriage and everything else, and worship. Already they have told you, and it's just nothing but a great big mouth. But pretty soon the mouth will turn to power for 42 months. "They that dwell upon earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain in the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills the sword must be the sword killed." Now remember, let's get it flat. Islam is a religion of the sword. So who's going to get killed? All Islam's going to get killed. Just because they say something doesn't mean it's going to happen. Nobody but us have a vindicated word. Whatever is out there, which is God, the God of William Branham, identified as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Moses, the God Jehovah Elohim, according to the book of Isaiah, where you'll see it many times, Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, that's the God and the only God there is. Amen. And we worship him. And nobody else does, except in error. Now, they say, "Well, you're taking away from us." I don't take from anybody. Get smart and come on in, stupid.
That's right.
Don't call me a bigot. If you want to stay out there in the cold, strip down, and die of frostbite, that's your privilege. It just shows you're insane. But nobody can call us names and get away with it. Natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. The science proves they're serpent seed. "And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had 2 horns and like a lamb, and spoke like a dragon." That's America. Now you got the ecclesiastical and the political and then the physical in there. "He exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed." Right back to Rome. "And he doeth great wonders, so he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man." Now he makes that. Is that the atomic bomb or those things in there? I don't know. And he deceived them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And America made the image. We set up the system. As I said, when Reagan got together with the Pope, it was America that had the money. And we'll see it in a minute, more so. He gave power, and he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And who's the one superpower left on earth? America. And no other superpower. Now the politicians are screaming and saying America cannot rise to the occasion and do anything anymore because it stands alone as a soft superpower. So they're going to shed all the armaments, everything, and we lay ourselves wide open to assault and this and that. We'll get a bomb, don't worry. Russia will give it to us. But in the meantime, you better believe that America is a superpower. Just name me one that is a superpower and can touch us. China? Don't be ridiculous. The great leap forward was by that stupid Mao Zedong. Mao Zedong, not Zhou Enlai. And his great revolution was every man in the backyard had a little furnace, a steel furnace. They were going to make cast iron and ingots and things. And they did. It was a flop. Nothing stood up. Look at the junk you're importing now from China. It's under slave labor. Yeah. Every time I see made in China, that's why I don't buy it. What's that brand now? Anyway, it doesn't matter. They make toasters and everything else. And clocks. They're lousy. There's no use buying it. Superpower in my foot. Israel's got enough superpower weapons right now to knock China in one blow. And they would have driven to see all the Muslims and Islam, Shiites, Jains, what have you. But America stopped them. So there's only one superpower. That's America. And it has to get behind Rome, which it did. And there's where the power came. Not from the big mouth. Tell me what Rome has as a nation. Nothing. In the war, they were a complete mess. Only under the big mouth Mussolini, who had a few guns, went to Ethiopia and destroyed our unarmed people. Anybody could do that. When they came to the showdown, they folded like a wet paper bag. Mouth. Like the man that went forth and he had a bow and no arrows. Mouth. And America supplies the power because they're destined to do it. And he and those that don't worship are killed. Started with Cain, didn't it? The seed of the serpent. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let he have understanding. Count the number of the beast. For the number of man, it's the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, for centuries, they knew that was the Pope. And for centuries, the Roman Catholic Church knew it was the whore. Now, they're the virgin bride. Now, it's no longer the number of a man, which is the Pope. But a vindicated prophet vindicated the men who knew it. Don't think for 1 minute Brother Branham came on the scene preaching a gospel different from Paul and different from the other ages. He merely restored the word to the original. Their justification, sanctification, baptism was just as real as ours, but the revelation wasn't there concerning the whole. Because of lack of understanding, God forgave them. But this age, there's no forgiveness. You leave this message and you're gone. That's why I feel so sorry for people deluded by preachers that call themselves shepherds. No, yeah, they're shepherds all right. Shepherd you like a goat. Shepherds the sheep right into hell. Because you leave this word, you cannot come back. That's why if you get married in this message, you cannot go outside and remarry. Church right. You're dead. Your fellowship is annulled. You never have part here. You better know where you're standing on marriage and divorce. Because marriage and divorce does not apply to those in the church, and I can take you to the book of Corinthians and show you positively that you've got to come back. Let no man deceive himself. Now, ecumenism cannot be truly accomplished without money. Now, as we said, money is power. If that were not true, how could America, without war, accomplish the overthrow of Russian communism? We just have spent ourselves into oblivion with products of war that could wipe out Russia in no time. Russia was nothing but a big mouth bluff. Just the same as their stupid people became revisionists and revised not only history but science and said the Russians invented the telephone. They invented the wireless. They invented nothing. And their society proves today that they were simply corrupt from the beginning because now there's a Russian mafia that's even in the United States. They're more corrupt than the Sicilians. Two doctors alone put in bills. They came for roughly $500 million or something. We're not being bankrupt here because girls are getting pregnant out of wedlock and babies are coming on the scene. Oh, no, we're not. We're bankrupt because politics has turned its eyes away from crime as a gift blinds the eyes. And you'll take $10,000 under the table to give a $10 million contract where the contracting friends will make $3-4 million on the roads, and there's not even a guarantee or a bond on them. So the roads can disappear in less than 2 years, and we got to pay the bill again. Money, 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 money. Everywhere you turn is money. And you can buy the world for money because the book, the Bible says so. You don't believe it? You better become a believer this morning. See? All right. Now, as we said, money is power. If that were not true, how could America, without war, accomplish the overthrow of Russian communism? We spent them into Bolivian. The airplanes are tacky alongside of ours. Everything they got over there is tacky. It's just the same it was back in about 1914 and 18, when a man, I forget his name, he wrote a book called Kaput. And he showed that everything in Russia was kaput. Hotels, they don't have motels. Subways, everything. By slave labor, they finally got a few perfect and beautiful subways, clean and pretty. Where are they today? Where is anything today? They're reverting back to communism and totalitarianism, which is evident on the grounds that the Antichrist himself is a dictator and totalitarian or completely sovereign in his niche. Notice I said his niche. God is our sovereign. We never forget that. For one little stinted minute. Which communism is ecumenism and dedicated to complete world control, a common denominator. Money equates to power. Look at Ross Perot, the billionaire, and now Forbes, the millionaire. No way could these men politically fight their way out of a wet paper bag except for the power of money, which they have in an unrivaled manner. The billionaire Perot. Look at him. You think he's a charmer just looking at him? Well, you wouldn't look twice at him. But money talks. And he can spend $100 million like this, and he will tell you the government should not be wasting their money illegally, and yet the record is clear what he got down in Dallas from the government. Read your papers. I'm not talking about a rag now. I'm talking about the more reputable journalists, editors, and investigative journalists. And you can go down and get the records yourself. Who made a killing on the airport? Who fought joining up with Mexico, but who benefits? Rossi, baby. You think he got those big antennae ears for nothing? He's piped into the sweet sound of money jangling. And who does the jingle jangling? Satan. A man so infantile, he thinks the FBI was trying to ruin his daughter's wedding. God have pity. And his money can sway thousands of people. Men have no integrity when it comes to money. Because they're incapable of integrity in the sense money is the exact opposite or the love of it. So I say, look at Ross Perot, the billionaire, now Forbes, the millionaire. If Forbes gets a flat tax, he'll save $120,000 across the board. And yet I'm for a flat tax myself. And now Dole is finally admitting it could work, and he's investigating it. What motivated Dole before? He was flat against it. He'd sooner have bills like, what's the guy they kicked from Texas, they kicked out of the House of Speaker? I forget his name. Wright. Who put a rider on a bill to exempt a widow paying on millions of dollars inheritance. One out of 250, 60 million in the United States, he put a rider on a bill that gave her an exemption by describing her. And nobody else or one woman could fit the description. Politics. Money, 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 money. Well, I'm giving you the truth. If you're like me, you'll despise the cruddy stuff that you got to use. It's just the same. Like Brother Branham said, we got to use cars. We got to use planes. We got to do this. We got to do that. We don't like it. We don't like it. No, they couldn't fight their way out of a wet paper bag. But money does it. So at the end time, Rome's gold buys all the Jews in their paper and takes over the world and worship. Now, as we pointed out, Paul said the love of money is the root of all evil. Love of money is one word in the Greek, and it is a phrase. And that phrase is in apposition to the word root. So the root is love of money, which means the essentiality is love of money. Now, people will deny it, but they're liars, and the word of God is true. Because Paul is speaking as the oracle of God, which means the mouthpiece of God. And Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God, which means shut your trap, as Brother Branham said, unless you say exactly what the Bible says. That's why the bride isn't dressed today. People refuse to think in terms of a vindicated message. As soon as justification comes, what did Brother Branham say? Sanctification, what did he say? Baptism, what did he say? The evidence, what did he say? Say what I said. I didn't say shut your mouth. You know why? Because you can think opposite and be damned. Yep. Therefore, the very root of essentiality of man is love of money. The very inner being of man is greed, covetousness, or cupidity. Now, which means strong desire, especially for wealth, avarice, and greed. But notice the word cupidity comes from the word Cupid. Well, who in the world is Cupid? Well, Cupid means desire, longing, passion. And from another word, another root word, the root cuper, which root words when combined mean boil, smoke, be disturbed. And Cupid was the god of love. If that doesn't describe the sex nature, I'll eat it. Well, sit there and think. You think the Bible's not written in plain language? You think we can't get a message across the street? I've got news for you. We don't speak in riddles and parables anymore. We bring it blunt. And lay it on the line, the way it was written, the way it was meant. Now, the word combined means boil, smoke, or be disturbed. Now remember, Cupid is the god of love. Thus we see that whether a man will admit it or not, and even deny it, he has a desire for money as a passion. And his agape love, which should be toward God, is toward money. He deceives himself that he is not avaricious because he talks of love and generosity and that money doesn't move him. But that money is necessary to do these great, wonderful things. If money's necessary, these great wonderful things, then you got to get your eyes off the great and wonderful things to get the money in order to do the great and wonderful things. God is so jealous, though all giving and all of grace, that if you dare to exercise anything that he gives you apart from his word and his will, he'll say, I never knew you. Get out of here. God must exercise his own power that is at work within us. For if we exercise apart from him, we brand ourselves as those who have these gifts, Pentecostal gifts and so on, and talk about love of the Spirit and all these other things, which we do not deny, but they're generated from another source. And when you cannot tell source from source, as in the end time, because of manifestation, without a definitive revelation given by God himself and vindicated, you are in trouble. Because there's a razor blade difference. And only that, because all power is of God. Even what the devil has. And the perverted power at the end time is so close to the genuine power of God that all but the very elect are deceived as to what is real from God as a gift to you and you a child of God, and what is allowed of God, you being a serpent seed. Let the word sink in. I will stand before God, and I'm standing before the white throne even now as I bring this message. It is this passion that is evident today when the churches are all crying, give us the tools or the money and we will do the work. We'll win the world for God, or at least bring to pass that every creature must hear this gospel. 5.5 billion people in this age. Now let's go to the Bible and just find out what the Bible says. We go to James, the 4th chapter. Beginning at verse 1 and ending at 10. From whence cometh wars and fighting among you? Where comes colonialism, civil wars, and broils within the family, within the nation, within the clan? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and have and desire to have. Notice those words, lust and desire, and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. Oh, we got a million more in 94. We took the gospel down to the Andes, put it the highest antenna up there, and transmitted the gospel all around the world. Look at us, what we have done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, because you gave us the tools. What if Satan gave you the tools? The Church of Rome bends itself to take money from houses of prostitution and blood money, selling the souls of men. You think the Protestants are any different? As Brother Branham said, pot can't call the kettle greasy. You adulterers and adulteresses, notice the smoking and desire of male and female. For conjugal relationships apart from true marriage. You and your burning. The Bible says a man had better marry than burn. We used to think the word meant inordinate passion, sexual desire. It means he's messing with women. Haphazard. Get your own and stick with her. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? And the mammon of this world and paramount. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You cannot have God and mammon. Is James going to change what Jesus said? No, he's telling what Jesus said in different words. Do you think the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? What spirit? Think it's the Holy Spirit or just the Spirit? It doesn't say Holy Spirit. It says your spirit. You got a spirit allowed to God, but not to God. What's he come with? He comes between you and your brain, between you and your heart, to transmit from the brain down to the heart, and cannot interpret the word of God. There's no way he can do it. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, he'll start to interpret it back from the heart that is full of murders and idolatries, adulteries, infamy, blasphemy. Desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord God, try the reins of the heart, and he proved it under a prophet. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12, where Brother Banner showed everything is manifest before God in this hour. And he could look down at the Trinitarian and say, I caught your thought. Don't think he couldn't do it, because he could. He could read you just like a book as he read me that day. I wish you'd had the experience. I wish I could pass it on to you. Doesn't do really much good, that's the fact of the matter is, but it's good. It's good to stand on, and good to know you'll be judged by it too, because I will be. I'll be judged by it, don't worry. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resist the proud. And Satan, by reason of pride, fell. But giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hearts, ye sinners, and purify. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. In other words, trying to go both two ways at one time. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter turn to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now here we see where all wars come from. They are called colonial wars, in which there's no justice but a takeover. To enslave the people in order to provide for the leaders. Do you realize that Stalin killed millions of people? Far more than Hitler did? You stood in his way, you got cremated or anything else? Why are there women who become prostitutes? Easy money. Where do your hiding places come from? I read it here, adulterers and adulteresses. Men will pay for it. Easy living. They call it the oldest profession on earth, and it is, because he'd committed adultery. What was her payoff? She was promised the fruit. But it was the wrong fruit. Oh, she got fruit from the wrong one and in the wrong season. See? Easy money. Why are there robberies and murders? Why are kids killing kids for clothes and shoes that proclaim them to be of the in crowd? And now they're telling their kids, please don't wear these clothes in school. Wait till you get home. You tell me they can't control the kids in school? They don't want it. There's too much money involved. The teachers lie all the time for their stupid degrees, which don't mean one thing, because you can have a PhD, and if you can't teach, you're stuck. The poor kids have nothing but an ass's head up front. If you can't put it across, what good is it? If you mess up the porridge, who's going to eat it? And the cry was all the time, more education. What? For one reason. To get more money from the people to educate the kids. Are they being educated? Then they wanted more money to have bigger schools. And I thought myself was a good idea. And bust them in. Today they find out homeschooling has got everything else beat a million miles. The government's finally smartening up. You know why? Because they want to be backed by that little political group that's growing stronger and stronger every day. What's called the conservative right. But it plays right in the hands of Rome. Because Rome will say, we always were the conservative right. At the same time, we're a liberal for you. Merciful God. If that's not politics, I've never heard of politics. No wonder politicians can't make a true decision. There's no way they can make a right decision. Because the church is all fouled up. See? Now, why are all these things? Why are drugs given and sold and destroying millions? It's the love of money. The driving force through essentiality of the inner core of man. The root of all branches. The root that produces. The root that is manifesting. The root that shows what is there in spite of denial. And contrary testimony, the fire, the smoke, the love, the satisfaction so called, is because inside of man there is that love for money, and man says it ain't so but God says it is so. And how many times did the prophet say, let every man's word be a lie, but let mine be the truth? Now, you may go to psychoanalysis. You may go to a lot of places to get your core revealed. I'm telling you this morning, if you are not a true child of God, born of the Spirit of God, sealed back to God, your inner core is one of cupidity, which means the God in there, your love, is a money. And you can deny it all you want. You're just kidding yourself and deceiving yourself. You'd better come and say, oh God, I'm wrong and I know you're right. And I'm too stupid to even see it. And I'm sorry, I apologize. But I want to be right. Remember, this is why the rich young ruler sold out Christ. Remember Brother Branham's message on leadership. The man was led by love of money and did not realize it, and he palmed it all off and said, look, I love God, I keep all the commandments. I can show you everything I do is God and Word oriented. I don't have that. And God said, but you do. Now the full gospel businessmen are doing the same lousy stinking trick. And the churches are doing the same rotten thing that Rome did. Money, 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 money. You know, back in the ancient days, these little crabs that go sideways, then the monks, and they'd go out there and put little lighted candles on their back and stick them down with wax, and they go buzzing, you know, sliding down like this and going back and forth. And they said, now that's the souls of your departed ones screaming for mercy. They want to be prayed out of hell. Put the money in the poor man's pot. Of course, that was the Pope's pot. They bought and sold the souls of men. You say, Brother Vail, my God, Brother Vail, that's so obvious. Ha ha! You're caught in your trap. You can say that's obvious and say this is not obvious. That is wrong. But I couldn't be wrong. That's a life in the pit of hell. Every one of us is wrong. As Brother Braddock said, come into the world speaking lies. Lying against what? The truth. See? So remember that ruler. This rich young ruler is now a vast group that sprang from him. Even 5.5 billion, actually it's about 5,642,000,000, are today from Cain. And proven by science, there is one mother and two fathers. Father God never put that core in there, the love of money. He never had James and Paul scream out against it for nothing. The devil did it, born of the flesh. The God of this age is money. Now, Brother Branham said, there's a goddess which is the woman. That is true. But we also know, in this form, the god of this age is money. It has to be if the love has gone toward it. I'm looking now just narrowly at this question, not as Brother Branham looked at it, narrow and also broad in his understanding, which we know him to be correct. But the god of this age, in other words, that which receives love. And Brother Branham said, a piano can be God. In other words, where you put your highest affection, and the Bible warns against materiality. The God of this age is money, a universally acclaimed means of exchange, which is gold, put to one side for now so that Rome could get it all. They were buying gold at $39 an ounce, and now it's just up over 400 a bit, rose a bit. And Rome, the universal church, with the universal medicine, is binding all the world together for the final kill. Universal Catholic. Universal money. Universal worship. We embrace everybody. We know no bounds. At the same time, if you want to be very conservative, we are conservative. If you want to be very liberal, it's okay because we'll forgive you. And if you're a Monsignor in France, and you visit a prostitute and you drop over dead in the act with a heart attack, they cover up by saying he went to visit her to win her to Christ. That's what swaggers do now, I understand. How many folk have we got from Rome in the Pentecostal movement? Did not that Catholic priest say, well, in London, when there was a great conference there, And he was anointed to preach to the World Pentecostal Conference. And he said, how strange it is today. He said, you Pentecostals prayed for us years ago. And now there's a Catholic priest praying for you. Why don't you come back to Mother? They never left her. It always was Mother. Many more of the children of the desolate than she, which hath a husband. How many really believe it? One needs to read only Revelation chapter 3, 14, 21, and then chapter 18 plus other scripture to see this is the truth. Let's go back and look at it. Let's find out if we're giving you the truth. That at the end time, the love of money comes into its full force. Well, let's read it. Is this the word of God or is it not? And now to the messenger, unto the messenger which is in the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, the winder upper. The one that proves it to be true. The faithful and true, the beginning of the creation of God. God creating himself in the form of human flesh. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would you were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and am needed nothing and knowest not. Our wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You're really a bum, a beggar with your hands outstretched begging. And all the time you're saying, oh, please give me a penny, something. And you say, I'm rich, I'm increased in goods. Oh, look at my wealth. Look at this, look at that. God have pity on us preachers where the money rolls in and we think it's ours. It isn't ours. It isn't mine. I keep myself in the spirit aloof from those things. Brother Branham said I would. I take his word for granted that I would not use money wrong. But it can be a trap, a terrible trap. Money, women, popularity. Well, let's keep reading. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. The riches of revelation. The riches of your tried faith, which hath been proven in the last day by vindication. White raiment that you may be clothed, bridal garments, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Nakedness has one thing to do with only one thing, and that's sex. Illicit worship, illicit women, everything in idolatry. All the wildly, loudly, bravely, happily proclaiming the gospel and spending billions on it. To get out a false God, a false Jesus, a false spirit, and a false word. How much ice are they cutting with God? And anoint thine eye with eye salve. It sounds like they got the eye salve handy to anoint, but they don't. According to the original, come and get eye salve because you think you got to know. That thou mayest see as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and begin to change your mind. Your mind which works on the spirit on the mind going down to the soul. What is fed in there and then coming back to the intellect again. And perchance out of the mouth confirming your testimony, which is a wonderful thing, which we see in the book of Malachi, the third chapter. Now behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, one man, as Brother Branham said, hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him, not them, but him, and will sup with him, not them, and he, one person with me. Who is that one person? I, the Pope, am the person. Hogwash. Spirit of hell incarnated. God in the prophet, William Branham. God in the prophet becoming God to the people. One of the biggest mouths in this message I know didn't like that statement. He said, ass. He was going to bring Brother Branham down. You know, like it is, but it really ain't. Took him years to see the presence. Fought me every inch of the way. Where is he today? I don't know if he's got a female Holy Spirit, Sophia the goddess. I don't know that he's a Gnostic. The Gnostics had a further revelation, a deeper revelation like the latter rainers, and that's what this is all about, this crud. Where a voice thunders from heaven when Isaiah is written, and he said, I made all of these things. I am God, and there's none beside me. And a voice from heaven above him, a female voice at that thunders and said, shut up, you idiot. I made you. How do you like that? You think I'm kidding? I got the book, baby. I got the books. I told you I got a gift. The right books, the right word, at the right time. Because I'm lazy as a dog. I used to love to read a book a day, maybe. And I belong to the school. They were supposed to read a book a week and a sermon a day. Forget it. Unless it's a sermon a day Brother Branham wrote in the Bible, then that's all right. Now, let's go to chapter 18. And let's begin to look at this thing in the light of the word of Almighty God vindicated by a prophet. And after these things, I saw another messenger come up from down from heaven, having great power, and the earth lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. God himself came down and said, this is what Rome is. This is your ecumenical society. This is ecumenism come to pass. For all nations are drunk of the wine of the wrath of fornication. The kings of the earth committed fornication there, and the virtue of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice saying, come out of her. My people be not partakers of her sins, they receive not of her plagues. Now listen, she's a merchandiser. Don't get in the merchandise business. Doesn't mean you can't own a business, can't make money. Said, don't get food. See? For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God remembered iniquities, rewarded, even as she rewarded you, and double under double according to works, and the cup which she has filled to her double. How much she has glorified herself, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she said in her heart, I said, a queen, I'm no widow, and see no sorrow. That's Rome. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. One day the fire is coming, she's already judged. You don't think so? Oh, come on, who's here today but the judge? Who pronounced you the righteous sinless bride of the Lord Jesus Christ? You didn't do it in the first place, you're trapped. Who said that? You think a mere man could say that? I knew William Branham. He'd never say that because he'd look and say, merciful God, me? And my from these parents? And my relatives? My ancestors? I would qualify? No, God vindicated himself to William Branham where he never would bleed the words of God. There's no way he'd ever bleed it. And even then he had trouble. Remember there in Oklahoma? When he was there and the building fell on that Pentecostal priest, a young Trinitarian man that brought William Branham. Was it Topeka? I think Topeka. Where he was. They said, Brother Branham, come and pray. The man's in the hospital. He could die. Organs internally, no doubt, crushed and all. And he said, that's just like the time they said to Jesus, come and pray for this person. But he said, of course I'm not Lord. But he said, there were times, he said, under the anointing, I could go and lay hands on a man, just get healed like that. And the voice said, aren't they the same hands? No, he said, but these hands are unclean. And the voice said, but aren't they the same hands? It was God who raised the man. He went and raised the man. Here's your picture. The kings of earth committed fornication, lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament her. For her, when they see the smoke of her burning standing afar off, and her torment saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. The merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth the merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearl and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet, and all the time would an all manner vessels of ivory, manners of precious wood and brass and marble and ivory. And ivory's getting very scarce now, you know. And cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and oil and wine and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horse and chariot and slaves and the souls of men. Slaves? Who brought in slavery? Who brought in slavery into America? The Protestants did. And they blame it on to God. My Bible said it comes from the Roman Catholic Church, from the devil. You make slaves of people, you're of the devil. Preacher makes the church serve him, he's of the devil. Promises those things he has no right to promise, he's not of God. I can promise you something is of God. You're in for a hard time. But a glorious time. When all these things come to pass, look up, for redemption draweth nigh. That's the literal second coming to you and me. Well, it's not the literal coming in the flesh to earth. That's postponed to the end of the tribulation. But we meet him in the air when this spirit amongst us, which is God, incarnates himself. And the fruit that thy soul lusteth after departed from there, the fruit that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. So much for your money. So much for your heart's desire. So much for your good works. Give us the tools. So much for everything. You blew it. You couldn't help but blow it because it's in you. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about a messy straight that I'm handling. And I include myself in it all. Just like Brother Branham did, like everybody else has to do. See? The merchants, these things which are made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, and so on. And sailors, and they're cast into heaven, they're crying, they're screaming. But verse 20, rejoice over her, heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Why does he say prophets and apostles? Because they were the responsible ones that laid the foundation for it all. And a mighty messenger took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it, saying, but violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be no more in thee at all. No crafts and whatever, no craft be in ye shall be found in thee any more. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more. No. Why? They're destitute. That's what the Laodicean church was, destitute and didn't know it. Now, because they didn't know it, didn't mean they weren't. The seed was there. Now it comes to full maturity. Nothing. Wiped out. Next to stand before Almighty God and judge. Get out. Never knew you. I didn't write this book. And the light of the candle shall no more shine in thee at all. And the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride shall be no more heard in thee. They come out. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe on his mighty breast. In the rapture and the glory. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. And for thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Sorcery by thy druggist and the drug companies, the poisoners. What was it that the fathers of communism called religion? An opiate of the people. And Brother Branham said he's the lily of the valley, the true opium that gives you rest in God. And these are drug traffickers. So therefore, down you have the cartels in South America. They're traffickers in drugs. They're not just ordinary pharmacists. That guy's not going to hurt you. He's just blind to what really the side effect of pills are. You can't take chemicals in your body and not rue the day, finally, that you have a worse chemistry than ever before. Unless, as Brother Branham said, the doctor gives you this poison and an antidote to cut it out at the right time. And I know doctors that try that. I don't think too many are too successful. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and saints and all slain. And why were they slain? Because they had thus saith the Lord, or the word of Almighty God from thus saith the Lord. See? All right. Now, so here we are when the God of this world, the love of money and its availability, has blinded all eyes and is now almost synonymous with sin dwelling in us, because this is now the trunk or stem, and the branches that have sprung up are manifesting from the root, and it is at this time the earth burns, leaving neither root nor branch. A whole new economy is coming up based upon pure hearts. No avarice, no greed, a complete love of God, a temple worship, glorified members with our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, is not asleep. He's not comatose. And his body hasn't gone to dust. He's on his Father's throne. And he's mediator, intercessor. And the Father's putting all things under his feet for the takeover. I don't understand why these preachers are leading people so astray. Do you know when they leave this message, there's no return? Not because Lee Dale said so, read your Bible. You begin to acknowledge William Branham as a prophet. You begin to acknowledge vindication and then run with your own ideas. You're finished. How could you not be finished? When you make God a liar and a perpetrator of a broken word, or the provider of a word that isn't there, you've ascended above God, and I've ascended above God. We're antichrist, we're devil worshipers. Come on, let's get the record straight. Confess. Get it over with. Get it out of your heart and line up with God. That's what we all got to do. Let's face it, there's no fooling here. Now, sin dwelling in us, because this is now the trunk and stem and the branches that have sprung up are manifesting from the root, and it is at this time the earth burns, leaving neither root nor branch, a whole new people and a whole new economy. No more science as we know it, but science as we will know it. Yeah, something really good. So, you can see for yourself from chapter 17 and 18 of Revelation. We just read chapter 18, and so we'll go back to chapter 17. And there came one of the seven messengers, which had the seven vials, and taught me, saying, Brother, I'll show thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of earth have committed fornication. See, everything is with her. She owns it all. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, and having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead is written the name Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, all the time proclaiming she's wonderful. Here she's nothing but a miserable, murdering, money-sodded prostitute. And with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, when I saw, and martyr means witnesses. And I wondered with great admiration. He was like, oh man, he said, this is, hey, can't figure it. And the angel said to me, wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, the beast that carries her, which are the seven heads and ten horns. The beast which thou sawest is not, and shall, was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell upon the earth shall wonder, whose name is written in the book of life. Now notice the word perdition is actually go to hell. So the son of perdition is a hell-bound person. And notice, he got all the gifts, imitates Jesus, imitates Christians, has everything in order, but no word. He simply believes he's a believer, but he ain't. And all they that dwell upon earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life and foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And Brother Bannis, the Pope comes up, he goes down, Pope, another Pope comes up, another one comes down, so on. See? And here is the mind that hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits, and there are seven kings, and five are fallen, one is the other yet to come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is, and even is the eighth, and is of the seventh, and goeth into perdition. Now it starts all over again, see, but it ends it with that one. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which receive no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings, at 1 hour of the beast. They could be rulers or dictators or who knows. But that's but a king stands for. And these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. And they shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and faithful and chosen. He saith that the waters that thou sawest upon a horse sitting are peoples and multitudes, nations and tongues. And the ten horns that saw upon the beast with it, there these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now the only thing that backs this up, you can't understand what there's really being said there, but that this scripture is fulfilled in Revelation 19 when Jesus, incarnate God, comes back with his bride. Now, this could be part also of the fact that Brother Branham said there's a bomb for Rome from Russia, there's a bomb for America. Hydrogen, atomic, mixture, who knows? Brother Branham said atomic. They've gone beyond it already. Massive destruction. Now, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree, and their kingdom give their king the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. See? So that explains that part. There are terrible things that be in the interim till Jesus himself comes to the bride and just wipes it all up. And the woman thou sawest is that great city that reigneth over the kings of the earth. All right. So, you can see for yourself chapters 18 and 17, and we read them already. And this is Revelation chapter 3. 14 to 22. And we know what it says. See, unto the messenger was in the church of Laodicea. And it tells exactly what they are. And verse after 19, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. My prophet will open the door, Elijah. I'll come in sup with him and he with me. At that point, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as they also overcame and set down their father. Overcome what? All the creeds and dogmas and the false religion by true repentance.
So now your mind doesn't wander, your thoughts don't gather moss, you're not with the crowd anymore, you're out entirely, you're outside their camp. And you pay a price for it. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. How am I going to hear unless I hear the man to whom the Spirit's talking? Got to be a prophet. All right. Now, that's the last church age. Now, reading again, which I won't do, from Revelation 17, 18 to Revelation 20 to 23, which is concerning the bride rejoicing over the demise, the destruction, the punishment of the harlot system, which now has to answer for all the blood for all the ages, because it's the same spirit of Cain. The Bible says so. I just didn't take time to look it up, but you can find your concordance. Now, this Revelation 20:23, the great harlot system, what comes after Revelation 3:14-19 is Revelation 3:20-22, which is the appearing and Elijah the prophet to give us the message, which is proven to be the vindicated word by the appearing. See, Brother Branham said when God sent Moses down to Egypt, he did not only appear in mighty signs and wonders, but he himself also appeared in the pillar of fire upon Mount Sinai, and so today we have his picture. Now, watch. As I said, you see in Revelation 3, verses 14-19, the utter corruption. You see it in chapters 17 and 18. Yet at the same time, you see the rejoicing of the saints that follows it. Now, go to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1 that follows 20:22. After this I looked up, behold, a door was open in heaven, and a voice which I heard, as it were, a trumpet talking with me. And a trumpet does what? Calls the bride up. So this is the rapture. Immediately I was in the Spirit, caught up to the throne, to the wedding supper, to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now listen to me carefully. So you begin to see exactly what we are seeing here and looking at. This is the rapture. Here is where we are. Satan, the spiritual god of this age, buying over 5.5 billion people with the physical god of this age, money, and manifested soul. A true Judas selling out God again, as in Hebrews 6. Because Judas is the exact picture of it. He turns. Money, the acclaimed universal panacea. But not for good, but evil only. Blinding their eyes as a gift blinds the eyes of the receiver from a man who's wrong and shuts his mouth with a gift. In other words, he buys him off like our politicians, and everybody's bought out. There isn't anybody that's not bought out. You say, what about the Queen of England? She's bought out by her own stupidity and pride. She doesn't want to give up her billions. Richest woman alive. You got money, do anything you want. The law doesn't mean it. That's why Brother Branham believed in capital punishment, but hated to see it enforced, because he said the poor man is the guy that gets his neck stretched, and that's mostly the blacks. And anybody with white, that's white with money, or black with money, like we see, as long as you got the money, you'll get off. See, now watch. We're watching this very carefully. Selling out to God again is in Hebrews 6. Money, the acclaimed universal panacea, but not for good, but for evil only. Blinding their eyes as the gift blinds the eyes of a receiver who takes money in order to hush money to shut up. So perhaps now we can see why Malachi was inspired to write Malachi 3:7-18 for our times. Now let's look at it. And if you think I'm harping for your money, drop dead. I don't need it. And I don't want it. And the money that I ask to be sent out of here goes to missionaries. You sent just recently over $10,000 to Europe, to Poland, where they need it. You also signed a check, which I also signed. You gave $12,000 to a pastor that hasn't got enough support. My side gave $12,000, your side gave $12,000, but I don't take any money. When Brooks got this church in Immense, I found that he borrowed $15,000 roughly. I paid it back twice, not realizing I'd given two checks. Right, Todd? So this church was in debt to $15,000 to me. That's why you pay my phone bill out of the tithes, which has to be, because tithes the only thing I can. I can't co-sell pencils and things. So I'm not interested in your money. I don't need it. I don't want it. And getting money from the outside has become a chore also at 81 years of age, because I'm not good at keeping books. But I'm happy to do it, because I know the money is doing real duty. It's going to people that need it. Would to God I could find more people that need it. But I can't. I wish I could find it. So we're going to talk about money. Now, verse 7 in chapter 3, even from the days of your fathers you've gone astray from mine ordinances. Who are our fathers? The prophets and apostles. Return unto me, I'll return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Now, you don't return unto God by finances. You return unto God by the word. And Brother Branham, they asked him, Brother Branham, does a Christian pay tithes? Well, should he pay tithes? He said, if he's a Christian, he will pay tithes. Now, let's read it. And Hebrews tells us we pay tithes to Jesus because it's his money. And that's Jehovah. Now, if you get disgusted with me talking about money, you think I'm pulling you a dirty deal, you come and look at my books, my bank account, I'll show it right before you, and I'll show you the truth. I'm not afraid of anything. Brother Branham said I would not do wrong with money, even as he said, Lee, you will never defile a woman or be defiled by one. You'll be true to your wife. I've never had another one with my wife. I don't want money. And God knows I don't want popularity. If I got it, I'd only kill it. Because, hey, what kind of a guy is Lee there? He's not pretty. Kind of like a Ross Perot, but thank God the ears ain't so big. But you said, when shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you robbed me. But you say, when will we rob you? In tithes and offerings. Well, why would a man do that? In the heart. The root. The question came up, will a man rob God? And the preacher said, sure, quicker than you rob anybody else. You're cursed with the curse. You robbed me, even the whole nation. Well, see, this belongs to the Jews. Yeah? Let me take you to Hebrews. Let me show you Hebrews. What is it, chapter 7? Who knows? I need my concordance up here. See, I got a lousy brain, but a good memory. Oh, you're talking about I haven't even got that. I went by it. All right. In verse 8, and here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Who liveth? Who receives them? As I may also say, Levi also, as I may say so, Levi also received tithes. Who received a tithe, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If their perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, see, it wouldn't come. One preacher years ago who didn't believe in tithes, I rubbed his nose in it. It isn't it. I've got nothing to do with this book, as I told you. Your money, you know it. Todd, bring the records out. I invite every single person to look at the records. The both set of books. The only time I had any complaint about my bookkeeping is the one time Brother and Sister Keller wrote and said, Lee, we sent you a check and it hasn't been cashed. And I said, I couldn't have got it. I didn't get it. It was in my pocket and I forgot it. So it canceled out. Threw it away. It was no good. They sent another replacement. I can misplace your checks. It's possible. But the records are 100%. No problem. They're on two sets of computers. Now, bring you all the tithes into the store. And they said, you're cursed with the curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, this is Malachi, writes chapter 4. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now, saith the Lord, I'll open the ways of heaven upon you, and pour you out a blessing you shall not have room to receive. Also, this will overtake you, even if you run for it, as it says in Deuteronomy. If you're wrong, the curses will run after you and overtake you. If you're right, so will the blessings of God run after you and overtake you. Think it over. Think it over. Think it over. You say, well, I ran, but God didn't. His word ran after you. See, I can prove it. Oh, yeah. My conscience is quite clear before God. I'm just trying to get everything sorted out because I want to be right. I don't want to owe anybody anything except love. I'd like to see everybody else in the bride the same way. All one heart and one mind. All doing the will of Almighty God. See, like the church should be. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast your fruit before your time in the field, saith the Lord. And all nations call you blessed, and so on. And your words have missed out against you, saith the Lord. Yet you say, why have we spoken so much against you? You said, it's vain to serve God. What profit to have kept his ordinance, and that we walk mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And ye call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Now, who feared the Lord? These guys that lined up. Why? Because the rest had this core in their heart. Now, listen, don't look at me. You better believe the word of Almighty God, which I am preaching, because this goes against my grain, too. I'm not having any fun up here pointing my finger at you. I ain't pointing finger at anybody. I'm preaching the word of Almighty God that says these things, the love of money. And this is that age, that core, that root, that manifests, and the manifest Antichrist, because there's where the spirit of hell is in Cain, and then it went to Balaam, and it went to Judas. Understand what it did? It went from the wrong seed of lying and murdering and took on money to betray the cause of Almighty God. Then it took on money to betray God himself. Judas, the son of perdition, and we've got it again, and it's in Hebrews 6. I'm not making this up. You better blame somebody different from me. We all need a bath this morning, brother, sister, and a good hosing down, coming clean before Almighty God. Not that we want anything from you. You know that with all your heart. You know that. There's one reason I'm here. Because of my ministry. This is a place you said, Brother Vail, if you stay here where we hear you preach the taste before they go out, you're not the pastor. We understand that. We'll not bear down on you. And this and that. Hey, when have I asked anything? Oh, a couple little things here and there, but my God, that's just common courtesy. My job is not to be served, but to serve. I'm getting, neither one, my wife or I, are too able to do it anymore, but I can at least talk. They say, my voice is strong, but I hope it's strong for God. And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. They weren't talking to God now. No, they were talking to each other. And the Lord hearkened. He said, listen to that. And he heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name and talked about their thoughts. They didn't go home my back and try to ruin some of you. Some of you sitting here had certain guy from this church sat over there, went around behind my back. Yeah. When was he called a minister? When did he pay a price? You think gifts don't operate in the fivefold ministry that's called to God? I got news for you. It does operate. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, resurrection and rapture. And I'll spare them as a man spares his son that serves him. He put mammon to one side. He put money to one side. He knew he could use it right. And he used it right, and he followed God through the word. And when you are a true believer in Jesus Christ and you follow this word, you do not have any danger of using money wrong. Because your thoughts are right, your words are right, and your actions will be right. Unless you're a dyed-in-the-wool hypocrite, and then you couldn't be if you're a true child of God full of the Holy Ghost. With the word, you couldn't do it. You just couldn't, brother, sister. You can't. You couldn't be the righteous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, the virtues who didn't even do it in the first place. You were trapped. absolved, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing. Scattering sin, there'd be no evidence. That's only in the bride. Dressed in the garments, as Brother Branham said, the sword of the King. There's only one the King, that's God. Bring on your holy vesture with the Word of God standing by. Dress a bride with a sword. First of all, he got to slash and cut off all her crappy prostitute garments. Oh, you see a prostitute wear garments? Let me tell you something. A woman with a little bit of clothes on turns a man on faster than the woman takes all her clothes off. Quoting the experts. Whores dress. Oh yeah, they don't strip down naked. Ever had a red light district in your town when you were a kid? I did. I went by and looked at them. Merciful God, how they dressed. What hung out and what didn't. They put their crud on their face with a trowel. They looked like a picture of Dally made before Dally made it. Then shall you return and discern between righteousness and wickedness, between him that serves God and those who don't. Right today in this message, people are coming out from some preachers who don't preach the message according to truth as we understand it, and I believe that's to be true. They're being criticized because they come out, but they're discerning. My time over? How come? Set the clock back. Well, let me finish reading. All right, I wonder if I may be so bold as to link Paul in... No, I'm not so bold. Time's up. I want to just show you something. I can next week, if Lord tarries and we're here together, we'll just quickly read these notes. See, my preambles are very important to me because I glean these things from William Branham and go to the Word and find them all here in 10-foot letters on a billboard, flames of fire. Yes, sir, this is what really counts. So next week we'll go into this again, and we'll show you the machinations and the dread of that unsanctified soul that hasn't been separated unto God because God could not receive it. It was not in the Lamb's book before the foundation of the world. So let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for your kindness that you have exhibited toward us, in that you have shown us the message of the hour, which is the message of the ages, which is the eternal epitomization of eternal things. And we thank you for it, Lord, that we're part of the record that has been set right, because we know that if we're living epistles read and known of all men, we're part of your record, Lord. And therefore, the record, your record has been set straight, for we have received it. We're grateful for it. What this all means, we really don't know, but we're in terms of expectation and happiness and anxious happiness, Lord, waiting for that day when further revelation comes and we ourselves are further revealed as to what we really are through this glorified body, which we took on this physical body, bypassing the theophonic, or spirit word body, which we'll be now united to in the rapture, it coming to us, marvel of marvels, and we then will know as we have not known before. And for this we are grateful, Lord, because receiving the rapture and resurrection is a further sanctification. Then what must be our ability to apprehend when we come into your blessed millennium after the wedding supper of the wonderful Lamb, the glorious Lamb, and come back and take over into the temple worship, and there we glorify you. Now, Lord, this morning these are just words to me, but they're words which I believe the prophet said and indicated. And they are true words. And I do not know what to expect in the sense of an expectation as though I had within me that which it could hold. But I do believe, Lord, that all of us here in the state of glorification will come into that and rejoice and go on our way rejoicing more and more, ever expanding and ever knowing the things of you, Lord, which you ordain. And they cannot be fathomed, because if your thoughts are eternal, how could we ever fathom that which is eternal? Lord, we cannot even begin to visualize anything of that momentum and that greatness. We simply can't. But we honor you and love you and know that your word is true. And it certainly humbles us and causes us to have great fear, not an anxious fear as though we were missing it, but a fear and reverence of you, Lord, and your greatness, how great you are. And we know there's no way that a man can fathom anything of you, Lord, even your revelation spelled out before us as it was letters upon a wall, a handwriting in the time of Daniel, unless a revelation comes forth and we can receive the revelation. Now we thank you for your goodness and your kindness to us, the opportunity to come together in love and in mercy in the grace of Almighty God, praying you heal the sick amongst us and give us strength, Lord, to serve you, or take away all of our strength that we may die if we do not serve thee, Lord, that we do not rack up against that day an accountability which we'll have to face. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, and may we add to that glory by being faithful to him and his word and loving with all of our hearts and our actions. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.